Crazy.
Welcome
to
Monster
Crazy.
This
is
the
9th
episode
of
Monster
Crazy.
Yes,
it is. We're doing something new today again, another fun new thing, and this is a little thing that we like to call creature double
feature.
That's right, and we're kind of acting like a two-headed monster or a twin right now, because the theme of today's creature double feature is twins.
Eternally scary, always scary, even in real life. Normal twins are freaks,
super creepy, always really weird. Don't like seeing them, don't like thinking about them. And these two twins that we'll talk about today, even less so. My name is Cameron and
Kai and
Cameron.
Yeah, that's right. We're not very good at doing the twin telepathy.
Yeah, that's
probably
we're
because
not
we're
real
we're not
twins,
we're not real twins, even though you guys might have thought that, because we both have brown hair. But yeah,
we're both really cool.
Yeah, and like monsters. But yeah, the two twins that we are covering today. Well, do you want to say both of them at the beginning, or should we just do one at a time?
Well, I feel like, I guess they'll probably put them in the episode name, so I guess it doesn't matter if we...
We're doing Belial and...
Gabriel.
From the movies...
Basket Case and...
Malignant.
Yeah, so I think that this little creature double feature thing will be a fun way to look at the... to compare and contrast two similar monsters that have, you know, that draw some influence from each other, or rather in one direction they do. And yeah, both of these, Belial, a lot of people requested us to do, and Gabriel was one that I wanted to do since the beginning. So I feel like rolling them together here is very fun and thematic because they're twins.
Two
twins. Even. All right, so let's just jump into it here.
Yeah, I'll stop doing the twin thing.
We're starting off in the 80s with our friend Belial.
1982, right?
The first deformed twin on our operating table is Belial. Ooh. One of the main characters, not sure whether you could call him the antagonist or not, of the 1982 movie Basket Case. Basket Case was directed by New York sleaze master and exploitation filmmaker Frank Henenlotter, his feature-length debut, who went on to direct Brain Damage, Frankenhooker, and two more Basket Case movies. Inspired by 60s and 70s exploitation movies and shot on 16mm film and a shoestring budget in nasty New York City, Basket Case wears its heart on its sleeve and its hideous conjoined twin on its side. Against all odds, it's become a cult classic even today, and I think everybody who's ever seen it can agree on the main reason for its success, which is a monster named Belial.
Belial is a fantastic monster. He is
great monster.
A conjoined twin, well, initially a conjoined twin, who is attached to a character. I think his name's Liam. What is that the name of the character?
Dwayne.
I think Dwayne is the name that he uses. I think that's his moniker as he's trying to sneakily sneak up on the people that they're trying to kill. I don't think his...
Oh, okay.
I think his... Okay, well, I don't know his actual name, but the less interesting of the twins, who's a normal boy, has a little guy growing out of him from the day that they were born, killing their mother in childbirth. And the little guy on his side is called Belial. He looks like... Well, at the age of 10, they get unconsensually unconjoined. They both hated it. They're like, no, we're brothers and we love being a gross little freak. And the doctors are like, no, you have to be separate now. And Yeah, once he's taken off, let's do a little visual description of what Belial looks like. He's a nasty little guy.
Yeah, so he's basically a little lump with a humanish face. Mm-hmm. He's got, well, depending on the scene, he's got either like dark black eyes, mm-hmm. or like blue eyes,
his
or
dark
sometimes
black
glowing
eyes,
red eyes.
His black eyes, like, he doesn't have an iris or apparent pupils when he looks like that. It's just, like, full black,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of like a grayish, sometimes a pinkish or color, and mm-hmm. very lumpy, very, like, kind of blobby looking. Looks a lot like, you know, like a tumor or a big, mm-hmm. a big lump of flesh. And he's got two little hands. Well, arms and hands on the side of his body with nasty, cracked, sharp fingernails, and he also has sharp teeth, like fangs.
Yeah,
and his
they're
mouth.
Like, they're like very uniform size and sharpness. It's like,
yeah,
you know, they're like, you know, monster teeth.
Yeah, they're like a kid's drawing of a shark's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Type two.
Also, something that I kind of liked about his face is that his eyes and nose are kind of like symmetrical and look more human, other than the fact that his eyes are pitch black. But like, there's kind of some more human look in there. But his mouth is stretched to the side a little bit,
yeah.
which I thought was pretty awesome. And his lips, I noticed, are like an ashen gray or black that fade into his weird pale grayish pink skin.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's basically, and he's very small, you know, he's about the size, he's like bigger, a little bigger than a human head, because he's got blobby stuff on the side and back, and then he's got short little arms, so he's very little, and the back of him has a lot more, like, disgusting, knobby, blobby, lumpy stuff, which is hard to describe with words, but it's very nasty looking.
Yeah, like you can see like remnants of a rib cage, sort of like he's got some stuff that sort of looks like human parts, but like, yeah, he's a gross little bugger. I really like the way that he looks. Also,
yeah.
This isn't like a physical description of how he looks, but it's a physical attribute. He, despite being very little, small enough to be carried around in a wicker basket, he seems to be, like, really strong.
Yeah, he's got chimp strength.
Yeah, he's got chimp strength, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, there's one scene, I think the first guy that he kills, he rips his nose off, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also,
which is a chimp thing.
He also, like, the guy that he does that to is like, there's something in here with me, when you don't see Belial yet. And Belial, even while being a little stump, is, like, able to, like, knock down an entire door, like knock mm-hmm. it off of his hinges, off of its hinges, knock the door off his hinges. but no, yeah, he's really, really physically strong, which I think is very cool. Like a cool feature to have of like, you know, a grotesque lump man.
Yeah. More stuff that's not physical, but it's just kind of attributes about him before we really delve into more stuff is he has some really nasty noises that he makes. He screeches a few times, but the main noise that he makes is just, it just sounds like a guy just yelling, but just like really loud and really upset and really just wordless and it doesn't sound like yeah, like, like, it doesn't sound like monstrous so much as like a guy freaking out.
He kind of, honestly, it reminded me of the way that Leatherface sounds.
Yeah, yeah, similar. Just kind of like, yeah, like, yeah, and it's really creepy. I think that's probably the creepiest noise that thing could make.
Yeah, I also think, I guess segueing away from his physical attributes a little bit, something that I liked about him is, like, he's a monster in the movie. I mean, if you look at him, he's a monster. But he is a Siamese twin. So, like, he's a human. I mean, so he has human thoughts and feelings and emotions, even though he is, you know, a pretty fucked up little dude. And I think that shows through in, like, he has personality, even though all he does is,
yeah.
Which I think is awesome. And he's not, like, I mean, I guess you could argue that he's basically pure evil, but I think he's more just what would happen if you made someone look like a freak and kept them hidden from everyone for forever.
Yeah.
And, like,
and
yeah.
Every the second you were born, your parents and everybody called you a demon and
yeah.
wanted you dead. Yeah. And speaking of all this, he doesn't just go, because one of his abilities is he actually is able to telepathically speak to his brother, Dwayne. He can, like, basically talk into his head, and Dwayne says that before they were, like, separated, when they were still attached to each other, they could both talk to each other telepathically, but then after they are separated, Dwayne, who's the normal one, can't speak to Belial telepathically, but Belial's telepathy actually got stronger, and he can, like, mm-hmm. he can talk even more loudly and frequently into Dwayne's head.
I have a harrowing quote that actually Dwayne's name is Kevin, I'm seeing.
I think that's the actor's name.
Okay, never mind. I've been confused. So anyways, this is what Dwayne says. He says, without words, I just hear him whispering in my brain. Sometimes he talks for hours and won't shut up. I used to be able to talk to him like that, but that was when we were still connected. Our aunt said it was our special gift, but since we're separated, I can't do it anymore. But he can still do it to me. In fact, he's better at it now. He always knows what I'm thinking. They didn't want him to live, but he fooled them. He didn't die. He just got stronger. Oh, if you only knew what it was like. Dwayne and I kept hidden from everyone. We're both of us so messed up. I don't know which one of us is worse.
Yeah,
I thought that was a cool scene. He's drunkenly talking about his brother that he's been keeping a secret in a bar during that scene.
I think that this is also, like, I'm not sure, like, it's really interesting to me to have this conjoined twin separation situation. That's a fun
phrase. Yeah, that was very fun.
Where the twin gets more powerful after he's removed.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to think that, I mean, I don't think there's any evidence for this at all, but I'd like to think that him being, like, having chimp strength, being able to knock down doors and stuff, maybe also came after he was separated. But I just think that's such a fun, like, especially with, okay, this is something we'll talk about that's fun too. Belial is like a name for the devil. It's like a Hebrew word that means wicked, and then got, like, eventually evolved into being used to refer to the devil. So it's like, you know, a word for a demon or a devil. And it feels a lot like Belial is, it's like the trope of, like, you know, a demon possessing somebody, and then they exorcise the demon, but then it's just, like, free and in full form and is, like, way more powerful.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's, like, able to escape being sealed away or whatever. And I don't think that this movie really has anything that supernatural or religious on its mind, but that's a very fun way to look at it, in my opinion.
Totally. Another cool thing about, this is more about the movie, but I think it has to do with the monster too, because this twin monster, you know, any twin is nothing without its twin in one of these movies. And this monster twin, they're a twin duo. They are both monsters. Dwayne is a normal looking guy, other than a massive scar on his side from where Belial was taken off. But they, like, have together agreed to go around murdering the doctors that did this to them. Mm-hmm. And Dwayne is just, like, he doesn't really do any of the physical murdering, but he, like, is using his normal appearance to make this all happen, and is he's not being mind controlled by
no,
Belial.
He's,
or, like,
yeah, he wants to do. He loves his brother.
Yeah, and his brother loves him. I think, like, they are a unit. You know,
they love each other.
I think any kind of monster that is really, like, a tag team, like an inseparable duo that has, like, a creepy next level bond, is a cool monster as a unit. You know.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, that's something that I think that Basket Case, I think one of the reasons that Basket Case has, like, survived the test of time, where a lot of, I think, sleazy New York exploitation gross stuff of this era is kind of like not as well known or as well received as this, is that it does, I think it has some genuine like actual character and emotion in it, like
totally,
you know, all the acting is all like insanely goofy and the effects are, you know, middling at best, super shoestring budget, but you know, stuff like I feel like a movie like this would usually not like Dwayne would be being mind controlled, you know what?
Yeah,
I mean,
they don't like, want the kind of like handsome male protagonist to be completely complicit in the horrendous things that they're doing, but he just is.
Yeah, and it's not even so much that he's like complicit, but it's not even like, it's not framed that either he's a good guy who's being forced to do this evil stuff, or that he's like an evil nasty guy who's trying to kill people. He's kind of just like a guy, and he's like doing this because he loves his brother. Like, there's no, he's not really like a serial killer type, and he's also not really like a prisoner victim type. Like, it really is centered around this like weird, fucked up monster brotherly love, which is like,
yeah,
very fun and unique. I think,
and I think they're both Belial, like Belial can't talk really, well not really, Belial can't talk, so we don't have a really good glimpse into Belial's inner world, and also when Belial's talking to Dwayne, you never hear it, which I also like. I like, yeah, that it's just like it's happening. It's creepier when you're just imagining that he's talking in his head than hearing like, Dwayne, we are brothers. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I like that it's just implied that he's doing insane whispers in his brother's head. But there's something creepy to me about them as a unit in that throughout the movie, Dwayne, and it could have just been the acting style, but Dwayne is just kind of like sort of, he seems a little bit like a stupid, happy-go-lucky, like almost childlike and naive, like boy man. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because they were hidden away until he was 10. And I think even after that, maybe, you know, but for sure, for most of his childhood development, this character wasn't around any people because he was a freak, because he had Belial on him. And so this character that's maneuvering the world and killing people with his fucked up brother being like this sort of sweet, naive guy is scarier to me than if it were more conniving.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And speaking of Belial being Belial being attached to Dwayne, I really like the way that Belial is attached to Dwayne in the flashback scenes where they show him,
mm-hmm,
when they're still conjoined. And it's literally like Belial, same blobby body with the arms and everything, but just like sticking it just at a right angle off
yeah,
of Dwayne's side, like through it, like he's wearing clothes and everything, and then there's like Belial just like sticks out of the clothes.
It looks very goofy.
It's great. And it's also before they're separated in the scenes where Belial is still conjoined to Dwayne, that's when Belial has those blue eyes.
Yeah.
Which is, so the thing about that also is, I'm not sure how, if that was like a deliberate choice to be like, oh, this is before he turned evil or became more powerful or something, because there's a scene in the movie, or a few scenes, where they use stop motion to portray Belial, and mm-hmm, and he goes on, like, there's a scene where he goes on a rampage and they use stop motion in it, and the stop motion scenes, he also has those blue eyes instead of black eyes, so I'm not sure if it's just like that was just the model that they were had to use for certain scenes versus other scenes, but I do like the idea of, like, you know, when they were connected, he had these blue, I wouldn't say they're necessarily like kind looking eyes, but they're definitely not like evil demon eyes.
Yeah, like they more look like after he's separated. They look like a baby's blue eyes, kind of.
Yeah. So I feel, yeah, I'm not sure the intention behind it, but I do really like his eyes becoming black and evil after he's been wronged and basically decides to take revenge on all these people who wronged him.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Another fun detail about the doctors is the two of the doctors they kill. One of them is named Dr. Needleman, and in the operation, he's the guy who sticks the needle in them, and then there's a doctor whose name is Dr. Cutter, and she's the one who cuts them apart.
That's awesome. I love that. One other thing that Belial does that's incredibly fucked up is...
Oh, yeah.
It's really gross. So, Dwayne, like, gets a crush on a girl, but he knows that Belial will become jealous if there's a girl involved. So he, like, tries to keep it a secret from Belial, but eventually Belial finds out because he has a psychic bond with this guy. And Belial, like, escapes their hotel room and, like, goes and, like, does some fuck, like, sexually assaults this girl while she's asleep, and she wakes up and freaks out, and Belial uses chimp strength and kills her. And the entire time, Dwayne is having weird dreams of, like, doing base of, like, running to her apartment naked, and, like, it's because they have the twin connection, so he can kind of see what, like, Belial's doing. And then the Belial is, like, his lumpy little body is, like, humping her corpse. It's honestly, it's a really disturbing scene for, like, a practical effects movie. Having a little fucking tumor creature just, like, humping a body that it just killed is really, really gross.
It's really nasty. Yeah. Something too about the scene where, like, Dwayne is having these, like, these little dreams. I'd like to imagine, I'd have to, like, rewatch it closely to see if this lines up, but I think it would be fun to imagine, like, I feel like there's a possibility that could be, like, Belial's, like, self-perception of, like, running to the girl's place, you know what I mean? Like as he's on the way, Dwayne is kind of dreaming of also running there, and maybe Belial kind of, like, sees himself as the same as Dwayne. I don't know. That's just a thing I just thought of just now. I don't know.
That is interesting. It's kind of cool that you don't ever hear Belial talk, but also he's clearly, like, you know, he's a sentient being, and there's no, like, knowing what his motivations are a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very much, I think that's also, like, a really smart choice you never know exactly what he's up to. It's all filtered through Dwayne. You never hear his telepathy. It's all everything you know about the plan or the story or whatever is just Dwayne kind of spilling the beans or, like, narrating to himself. And it really helps, I think, to enhance this kind of juxtaposition between Belial being, like, this monstrous creature that to the world, including you, is just a fucked up lump that kills people and can't talk, but, like, Dwayne is the one guy in the world who, literally the only guy who can understand him, like, both on a, both understand, like, oh, he's my brother, and also, like, just understand him, like, literally.
Yeah, like, communicatively.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in the end, Belial, I guess, spoilers, obviously. I don't think we need to say spoilers when we're, I mean,
yeah.
Spoilers. But Belial kills Dwayne and himself kind of by accident, in that they, you know, Dwayne's pretty upset that Belial was sexually assaulting the corpse of the girl that he murdered, that was, you know, he was pretty upset about that, and so they were, like, getting into a brotherly tiff about that, and Belial, like, went "Wah!" and, like, jumped on him, and they, like, fell out of a window, and Belial's, like, holding Dwayne by the neck, because that's what he was holding onto when they, like, first came out of the window, and his other hand is holding them up so that they don't fall to their deaths. And I asked Cameron this after he finished rewatching, but I couldn't tell if Belial was still trying to choke his brother to death, or if at that point he was trying to, like, it was just what he was holding onto was his neck, and he was just, like, didn't want his brother to fall. It was interesting choice to have him do that. But anyways, they end up slipping and they both die, and that's the end of the movie.
I think it has to be, the more I think about it, I think it has to be that Belial is trying to save Dwayne, because if Belial was trying to choke him, he could kill him by just letting go.
Yeah, and then just
and letting him
back
fall
up
to the ground and then going back inside.
We had seen Belial shimmy around on, like, vertical surfaces before pretty easily.
Yeah. So I think that he's trying to trying to save him in a symbolically choky, rocky relationship kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we rate both of our twins at the end of the entire episode? Or should we give our ratings for Belial?
I feel like we could give our ratings for Belial like now and then do the other one at the end, because I just don't want to forget. I'm in the flow of the conversation, you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, let's hear your rating first then, Cam.
Okay. I think I will give Belial 8 concerningly human yells out of 10. Because I really like Belial as a design a lot. I think it's a great example of how you can do a lot with a little, both a little like design wise and also a little like there's really a shoestring budget movie. He doesn't like look great, but he looks great because he doesn't look great. And also he eats pizza and hamburgers and hot dogs just like me. So how could I rate him anything lower than 8?
I am also going to give Belial 8 pitch black eyes on a lumpy conformed body. For this, basically the same reasons as Cameron, except I also think we kind of discussed this in our Beholder episode a little bit, but I think one of the key ingredients of a good monster is personality and however that takes shape. And I think Belial has a lot of personality, and also the fact that, like, Dwayne describes him as looking like a squashed octopus, and honestly, that's pretty apt. But, like, for as monstrous as he looks, his mind is still basically human, I think, and, like, a very fucked up human, but I think that makes him a very interesting monster, and I think he's a very good monster, very solid, good monster. Also, I know it's not a movie rating podcast, but I would recommend watching Basket Case. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. It's just a very solid movie.
Frank Cannon-Lauder's the best. He's great. Oh, yeah. And I guess I should mention, neither of us have seen Basket Case 2 or 3, which I always, for some reason, thought were directed by someone other than Cannon-Lauder. So I was like, I don't need to watch this if it's like some random other guy's sequels. But I guess he did do them. And I saw some stills from number 3 that looked pretty cool, even though I've heard number 3 isn't that good. So I will probably be watching those, and then if there's some good monster stuff, maybe we can return to the well. But Frank Henenlotter is great. You should. I'm sure we'll do at least one more monster of his someday, because that monster is on my list for sure. And I won't say the name, but I'm sure a lot of people know who it is. Maybe if you're a monster fan.
Yeah,
I think one person even requested it, but we'll get to it.
For our next,
yeah.
For our
but
next,
but wait.
Oh, okay.
Don't turn off your television set. We've got one more twin for you, Boils and Ghouls. Almost 40 years after the release of Basket Case in 2021, another nasty, messed up twins movie came out by the name of Malignant, directed by a guy by the name of James Wan. James Wan made huge waves in popular horror in the 2000s and 2010s with movies like Saw, Insidious, and The Conjuring finding huge box office success, and spawning not only successful franchises, but huge waves in the horror landscape. Saw helped popularize the, quote, torture porn craze that swept the nation. Insidious was an early hit for Blumhouse Productions, prompting them to run with its low-budget formula for years. And The Conjuring, for better or for worse, introduced an MCU-style extended universe to horror movies. And then, in 2021, Malignant. Will this giallo-inspired melting pot of horror influences have the same lasting impact on the scene that Wan's other big films did? I don't know why I'm asking questions in the intro. I'm supposed to be answering questions in the intro. Well, without any further ado, let's talk about Gabriel from Malignant. And also, this one has a bunch of spoilers too. You should watch this movie before listening to this if you care about watching this movie.
This movie us talking about this character is almost implicitly a spoiler.
Yeah. So check it out.
Yeah, this is your last turnaround point. If you listen further, it's a spoiler. He's on the back of her head. but no, actually, it is very cool. Yeah, let's do a physical description of Gabriel here.
Yeah, so Gabriel in, I guess we'd call it phases. Similar to Belial, Gabriel is a conjoined twin, a parasitic twin, they call him specifically in Malignant. And in this movie, he's inside of a girl named Emily May, or Madison. And when they originally, when they show him at them as like children, it's like her, the girl, and then they pan around to the back of her head, and what's going on?
Nothing. I had the last sip of wine that in my glass that was also the last pour of wine, so it had like grape shrapnel and cork shrapnel. I don't know. It was disgusting. It's like gritty in all my teeth. Never mind.
They pan around to the back of her head, and you see growing out of the back of her head is Gabriel, who he has these little kind of like T-Rex arms that kind of flail around in the air, and he has a really prominent rib cage that goes down kind of her back, and then he has a kind of like a, you know, kind of like a Minecraft creeper face a little bit going on, but it looks great. That is like that. When I saw that animatronic in that movie, I was like, fuck yeah. Like this shit rocks. That's when he's a baby. Then they say it's time to cut out the cancer. And then they cut out Gabriel from her body. But little do they know, they actually have left parts of Gabriel inside of her brain, because removing him all the way would cause her severe brain damage or kill her. And over the next several decades of her life, he kind of grows and regains power, quote unquote, but he actually, this is really cool and messed up. He actually like eats. She keeps trying to get pregnant, and he keeps eating her fetuses and causing miscarriages to gain power, until he gains enough power that he's able to force his way out of the back of her head, which manifests as basically the back of her head with all the hair and stuff. It cracks open, and it slides open, and there's a fucked up, bloody, red, twisted brain-ass face.
Yeah, brain it's face.
It's so cool. It's so nasty. And it's also, just on the back of her head.
Another thing is, you know, she has, like, long black hair, and so by effect, like, and I get, Gabriel gets control of her body, but because he's on the back, like, when it's Gabriel mode time, she gets like super fucking fast, but is just like running backwards and shit.
Yeah.
And like, and he has like long black hair over his disgusting brain face. He's a really cool design.
He's a really, really cool monster. Yeah. He's able when, so basically it's two twins in the same body in this situation, as opposed to like one, like kind of growing out of another. So they use the same body. They kind of like switch over control. So when Gabriel takes control, all her limbs dislocate, or he like has the ability to dislocate her limbs so that it can like run backwards and like attack backwards and stuff. And also because he's like in her brain, he has the ability to kind of like control her perception. So spoiler alert, Gabriel goes around and kills a bunch of people. But when he's doing that, he has the ability to like affect the visual areas of her brain in such a way that she thinks that she's just going about her daily life. But meanwhile, she's being taken on this crazy ride in a trance to kill a bunch of people as a backwards demon man. When also, she thinks she's just doing laundry or something.
Backwards demon man with like a pretty symmetrical woman's face on the back of his head is also very cool. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's just like, honestly, adult Gabriel is an incredibly good, I mean, actually baby Gabriel is awesome, but adult Gabriel is like a slasher villain is just a really cool design.
Yeah. So yeah, what's really fascinating about Malignant, as a whole, which like even just besides Gabriel, is that it's very like it's like giallo inspired, which is like it's like an Italian horror mystery genre that I believe, yeah, it predated slasher movies and had a really heavy influence on slashers. And it's characterized by, like, these, like, you know, super colorful. Like, if you've heard, if you know, like, Dario Argento, like, Suspiria, or, like, the bird with the crystal plumage. There's a bunch of them. They're all, there's, like, a million of them. But, yeah, they basically, they have killers that go around and kill people, and they're whodunits. It's, like, a mystery more than it is, like, a, you know, like in a slasher, like you have kind of, sometimes you'll be trying to figure out who does it, but usually it's just like a villain and you're like, oh, we have to stay away from the villain. But what I think is really cool about Malignant is that it explicitly is trying to take more DNA from giallos, which I guess are kind of having a moment, but haven't had a moment in a while, I think. And it's really fun as like a whodunit, especially when the answer isn't like, oh, it was the butler, or like, oh, it was the wife all along or something. But it's like, no, it was actually a evil backwards cancer clone in the back of your head all along.
Wait, Cameron, what was the word that you texted me today that also kind of describes what Gabriel is?
A teratoma. So a teratoma is a type of tumor that is really nasty and can grow like teeth and hair and stuff.
Oh my god, that's so fucked.
And that's, I think, what Gabriel was inspired by. And that's also, here's one point where I think it's fun to talk about Gabriel and Belial in the same episode.
Oh my god. Teratoma. Yeah, oh my god.
They're really nasty.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they're really, really gross.
I saw what looked like a placenta that was cut open that just had teeth in it.
Yeah, it's really, they're really creepy and fucked up.
That's awesome.
But what? Yeah, one reason I think it's fun to talk about Gabriel and Belial in the same episode is in Malignant, Gabriel is kind of like specifically referred to as like a cancer or like a tumor. And in Basket Case, Belial is not really referred to in that way at all, which is really interesting to me because I would say of the two, Belial is way more of a cancer guy.
Yeah, he's a little lump.
He's like a tumor. He just like is a tumor. So this almost feels to me so clearly Malignant is super heavily inspired by Basket Case because it has this whole parasitic twin thing is lifted from Basket Case, as well as like the central plot or goal. I guess we didn't mention that Gabriel is killing the doctors who essentially tried to kill him by removing him from Madison. So that's all kind of lifted. It's kind of like it's almost like a not really a remake, but there's like, it's so, the story is the same, the central premise is like kind of the same, but they are such.
There's no love between the siblings, though. You know.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And also, yeah, they're never actually separated.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're explicitly enemies.
I also another thing. This is sort of off topic, but I was thinking earlier, like, why did she like never notice that like the back of her skull, like if something's splitting out of the back of your skull to kill people, you'd feel something back there, like just on your day to day when you're actually having your day to day. But I was like, Gabriel has like these reality warping powers to this woman. Like, I feel like he probably is making, like, using his perception powers on her to make her not notice that that's there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that he can basically control everything about her, at least until the end when she realizes that she also has the same power over him. But yeah, I feel like that's like definitely a safe assumption to make.
One thing I will say about Belial in comparison about Gabriel in comparison to Belial is I felt like as a character or personality wise, Gabriel had a little bit less to like offer. Like, he was just like, I guess they had the same idea. They were just going to like kill the doctors, but he's like this like, I'm an evil hyper genius guy living in your mind. And yeah, like he was just pure evil. Belial was just incredibly fucked up to the point of being evil, but it wasn't like so explicitly like, I am a force of evil.
Yeah.
Like, he was a little bit, yeah, it was a little bit more complicated.
And also, speaking of that, a super cool ability of Gabriel's that we didn't even mention yet is that he has the ability to affect and control electricity. So he actually is able to like turn out lights, blow light bulbs. He explodes a pacemaker at one point. And in something that's like, I think is super, super cool, that voice, he talks through like phones and radios. So he can't on his own. He like, he controls people's phones and radios to make this like distorted electrical voice come out through them. That's his voice. And he can talk to, Madison telepathically, which they show like old home videos of her. She basically, she had an imaginary friend named Gabriel after they excised Gabriel from her, which was the like remaining pieces of Gabriel in her brain, like talking to her and telling her to do stuff. And they always, her parents were always like, oh, it's an imaginary friend. You have to like, you have to stop believing in him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But weren't they foolish?
Yeah, they played the fool for sure. Another thing that I think is kind of cool and fitting about Gabriel's electrical powers is he's a very brain-like monster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Different monsters can represent different parts of the body in different ways, I think. And he's a very brainy, he's a brain guy, you know, he's
his face
is like made of brain, and I think that works just really well with just the ability to kind of control electrical signal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it is something that cool. Yeah, it's something that at first, it's one of those things where at first you're like, electricity, like why, I don't understand it, and then you think about it and you're like, oh yeah, that actually makes like a ton of sense. And oh yeah, appearance-wise, more stuff that I guess we can mention about Gabriel. When he takes control of Madison's body, he puts on this black trench coat that's really cool. It's super giallo, and it's also like super The Matrix, which comes out in this fucking awesome action scene in a police station. That is the main reason that you should watch this movie. It's so good.
It's
that
so scene fucking is cool.
Hugely worth the price of entry. But also, his murder weapon of choice, which is a big thing in Giallos too, is having some crazy weapon that the signature weapon the killer has. He takes like a trophy for like excellence in surgery or something from one of the doctors that he kills or kidnaps. And he like grinds it into a dagger, and that's what he uses to kill the other doctors.
And also, it doesn't have like a normal handle. It's like a claw dagger, kind of.
You hold it like when you're holding plastic knives in the cafeteria to make yourself look like Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Gabriel's design, like honestly, if I'm being real, I did not love Malignant. I didn't hate it. I liked Malignant, but I thought Gabriel's design was incredible, and the scene that he's in that Cameron's referencing in the police station, like, made me actually just like the movie, even though, like, barring that scene, I was kind of like, meh. But he's so cool looking that it made me like, I had a great time watching the movie because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this movie. I think that Gabriel is such an awesome design, and he's really hiding in this movie. It's something that I feel like, unless you're spoiled, you really don't expect it. Like, I was watching that and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's a twin thing. There's like an evil backwards twin. But the reveal that he's actually is her all along, I was like, yo.
I didn't see that coming either. Yeah, no,
I noticed there's a scene where he's like, he crouches over a bed before he kills somebody, and I noticed that it was like backward, like his arm and his legs were backwards, and I was like, oh, I got the reveal. I heard there was a plot twist in this movie, and I figured it out before it happened, so I'm smart. And then I still like didn't figure it out right, and that made me so happy that there was like, it was such a ridiculous twist.
It was an awesome
so much
twist.
Fun. Another fun thing about the mental control, like domination thing that he does is, so when he can like make Madison see her normal life when he's going out doing stuff, but he can also like show her, like he chooses to show her the murders anyway sometimes just to like taunt mm-hmm. her and like kind of link her to the murders. And additionally, another thing that he does with that is like, there's a scene right at the beginning. I don't think it's right at the beginning, but it's definitely one of the first few scenes where he breaks into their house and like, and well, you know, quote unquote, breaks into their house.
Mm-hmm.
They have a scene with like a fake home invasion set up, and he like snaps the abusive boyfriend's neck. And but that scene where she it's been a minute since I saw it. I can't remember if it's her. It must be her who sees Gabriel like right after that. And it's just like it's a completely like there's like, you know, there's a whole scene. And then there's just a completely like black like cutout of a figure with just like long hair. And it looks like either like it doesn't look natural for it to be completely in shadow like that. So you're like, is this some kind of like shadow demon or a ghost or something? Or is it like I saw that and I was like, oh my God, this is like a cool evil shadow demon with long hair movie. But then when you watch later, you realize like, oh no, like it's literally it's like a specter thing of like the what's the word I'm looking for? The like visual processing thing.
I don't know. What do you mean by a specter of the visual processing thing?
Like, now I'm second guessing myself. If it's the boyfriend who sees it, then everything I'm saying is not true and makes no sense. But if it's Madison who sees it, then that means that it's Gabriel projecting like a black ghost figure that doesn't exist because Gabriel is her.
Yeah, and he's just doing it as just to be a weirdo.
Yeah, but now I'm not sure. So just imagine that happens in the movie and that it's cool if I'm wrong.
That sounds sick. Well, yeah. I know that there is that dark specter scene like that's
yeah,
real.
But I can't remember who sees it. Now I should have rewatched it right before this.
Maybe it was. I mean, was it just the camera that sees? Like, was it third party?
Who knows? Now I don't even want to do this episode anymore.
Okay. Well, should we give Gabriel a rating?
Yeah, I'm down. You want to go first or should I?
I'll go first this time. I'll give Gabriel also 8. Backwards limbs moving nimbly to slice you open because while I didn't I enjoyed myself watching Malignant, but it wasn't my favorite movie. I gotta hand it to them though. The twist was awesome, and also the design of the monster. Mwah. I think Gabriel is a really cool monster, designed very well, and they give you that twist like a tasty little treat.
Yeah. For my rating, I would also like to rate Gabriel 0/8. Do you get it?
8.1.
It's like 8 out of 10. It's like 8 out of 10 backwards.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's backwards.
Wow. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Gabriel as a design. I think he's really fucked up and creepy. And I also think that the effects that they used to render him in the movie are perfect. Like the animatronics for the baby Gabriel are some of my favorite animatronics I've seen in a movie that's come out recently. And the way that they portrayed Gabriel in like adult Gabriel is they put a fucked up face on a contortionist who like did all the Gabriel movements, which is I love whenever they use a contortionist for a monster.
Yeah.
That's always a big win for me. So I'm a big fan of Gabriel. And I guess something else I wanted to mention about kind of Gabriel and Belial. Belial is a name for a devil. Gabriel is the name of an angel.
Whoa.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
That does kind of make me think about stuff like devils and angels, kind of.
Yeah, but I think that Gabriel, I think that while Malignant is clearly a a tribute in a lot of ways to Basket Case. Gabriel does not really feel to me like a tribute to Belial.
No, they're different guys.
Yeah, and I think that I'm kind of happy about that. I think that that's a good way to do it. Something else before we leave, something else I forgot to mention. Another big inspiration for Gabriel was this apocryphal, I can never pronounce that fucking word, urban legend about a man named Edward Mordrake, who supposedly had a face on the back of his head that would whisper evil things to him, and whenever he frowned it would smile, and whenever he smiled it would frown.
That is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's unfortunately not true, but that is the basis for Gabriel. James Wan said that was the main inspiration, I think.
Are there, there's no, like, Edward Mordrake wasn't, he wasn't real?
Yeah, there wasn't really a guy with an evil backwards demon on him, unfortunately. I really wished it was real, but it wasn't. Oh, and speaking of inspirations, another fun way to compare and contrast Malignant and Basket Case. So Malignant, the inspiration was like, oh, here's a crazy, creepy urban legend. But something I read is that the inspiration for Basket Case was because Frank Henenlotter was trying to think of movie names that hadn't been done yet, and then thought, what would a movie called Basket Case be about? And that's how he made the movie.
Honestly, that just speaks to his creativity. That's very
cool. It's so funny. That's like the funniest. That was the funniest fact that I learned about that movie. Like, what? Being a movie director and sitting down and be like, what movie name hasn't been done yet?
That's a really fun way to come up with a movie. It's cool also that it was a good movie that he came up with by trying to imagine, like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I figure that since this is a creature double feature thing, and we did our ratings, that maybe we can close out with, we have two monsters standing before us, one on the left side, one on the right side, and now they're running at each other. And I have to ask you, Kai, who would win?
Oh, you know what? That's kind of hard.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Because at first when I was thinking about it, I was like Gabriel for sure. Yeah. But then I was like, I don't know.
Also, I think the extent of Belial's abilities are a little bit unknown.
Yeah. Well, Gabriel has Belial has like chimp strength, and chimps kill people all the time, and Gabriel's a people.
But Gabriel has electricity.
Yeah, and
but he can't. I don't think he can't like zap anyone with it.
I think he can just like overload stuff. Like, I think he can affect currents. He also has a knife that he can stab with, which might actually.
I think what I'm going to say about this one is I think it's a toss up. If you take 100 Gabriels and 100 Belials and pit them against each other 100 times, 50 Gabriels will kill 50 Belials, and 50 Belials will kill 50 Gabriels.
I would love to see that movie.
Yeah, it's just that over and over again.
100 Belials.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
That's nasty. What do you think?
I really don't know. I feel like I might be leaning towards Gabriel, because I think Gabriel also kind of has like crazy strength and like endurance.
I think he's really fast. Belial was always jumping on people at their face. I think if he did that with his chimp strength, Gabriel might be able to like just shank him a million times.
Yeah. I also think like Gabriel, like, you know, Belial was like ripping people's faces off and stuff, but Gabriel killed like 20 cops. Like, I think that I feel like if Belial doesn't surprise him, Belial might not have a chance.
Yeah, I do think it's ultimately hard to say, though, because I don't think that we got to really see Belial tested in that way. Like, I could see Belial having some weird, you know, dexterity that, like, you know, when you see what it's from, they do the classic, like, from the monster's perspective at one point in the beginning of the movie for Basket Case. Belial is a quick little fucker somehow, like, you know, shuffling around in the darkness. Oh, also, there is one thing that, like, when Dwayne was drunk and talking about Belial, he said something also that I thought was really creepy, where he was just like, we were the big family secret. Everybody hated us except our aunt. See, he likes the dark. He doesn't like to be seen. Not even by me sometimes. And I think that's really, like, I think that paints the picture of Belial being able to be maybe a little bit, like, I don't know, sneakier than I'm giving him credit for.
Yeah.
I think if maybe in the other Basket Case movies, if there's more Belials, we would need to see their combat tested, because really Belial just killed some civilians who weren't expecting it.
We'll have to run a combat simulation in, like, a hologram or something to determine the result of this.
I would love to run a combat simulation of Belial versus Gabriel over and over. Actually, if any of the listeners have opinions on who would win, you know, let us know. Put it in the comments.
Well, I think that's that for twins. Both of these monsters are so cool, and I love them so much that I'm sure I'll think of something that I forgot to say the second we stop recording, but every episode must come to an end.
It's true.
And this is the end.
The end. Oh, don't forget to rate us 1 million stars on Spotify or podcast app.
Or 5, if it won't let you do a million. 5 is enough.
Get the highest it'll let you rate on
your way to a million. No lower than that, though, please. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. You can keep sending in requests if you want us to do stuff. We'll get to them. And I won't remember if you just say it to me on stream like you freaks have been doing. So just message it to the account, and it's a nice little list for us, and we'll work through them eventually. So
Belial and Gabriel are both from that, and we did them, and also enjoyed doing it too. So there. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.